Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of relevance to people everywhere. Today's program addresses the subject of Black History Month at George Mason University. I'm Stephanie Hopkins. To elaborate on my subject, my panelist today is Dr. George Walker, Associate Professor of History at George Mason University. Dr. Walker has an MA from Columbia University, a Master of Philosophy from Columbia, and also a PhD in History. He has been a Woodrow Wilson Fellow, a Columbia University Fellow of the Faculty, a Ford Foundation and John Hay Whitney Fellow, as well as the National Fellowships Fund Fellow. What has gotten you interested in the subject of Black history?
Well, my interest spans at least 15 years. I would suppose that from the time that I was in high school, initially, I became interested in the field of Afro-American history. But it wasn't until I entered Lincoln University, my undergraduate school in Pennsylvania, that my intensity of interest increased. I studied there under Dr. Philip Foner, who himself is a prolific historian in Afro-American history. And my sophomore year, 1967, was the year that I took a course under Dr. Foner, a course in Black history. And I was quite impressed with his range of knowledge and his extraordinary versatility in the field, having written a score of books on the subject. And perhaps the most remarkable thing, however, was the extent to which Dr. Foner opened my eyes to the contributions that Black people made to this country. And it was largely owing to Dr. Foner that I undertook to make the field of history, and more specifically Afro-American history, my specialty.
You have published the proceedings of the Black State Conventions, and I think it's quite interesting that you would undertake such a task. What exactly inspired you to develop this work?
Well, I suppose inspiration for the book itself began back in 1976, at which time I was contemplating trying to get something published. One of the first things I discovered was that there existed very little in terms of original historical sources from which people in the field of history could draw from in writing Black history. Now, there are books that have been written on Black history, but in terms of original documentation and information from which anyone interested in the field could draw, there was very, very little. Back in 1960, Howard Bell published the Proceedings of the National Negro Conventions, and this was a very comprehensive study of the Black convention movement before the Civil War. And Bell's work was epochal and original, as well as comprehensive in its extent. He did the national conventions. It dawned upon me that no one had ever done anything at the state level or the local level. And so in 1976, I decided that this would be a very fruitful field from which to undertake an investigation. I began collecting convention proceedings, and there were a number of Black conventions held in the North and West in the period roughly from 1840 to 1865. These conventions assembled largely for the purpose of promoting the civil, social, and the political equality of Black Americans in this country. Many of them dealt with the question of voter disfranchisement. Free Blacks could not vote in many Northern communities. The question of education, the question of job discrimination, and equal rights in general. However, none of the proceedings had been published. And so I thought that it would be a very interesting and also exciting project to undertake. And the book has subsequently appeared in two volumes.
You concentrated on 1840 through 1865. Why? Is there a particular reason?
Well, the first state convention met in New York in 1840, in August of 1840. Now, there were conventions which preceded that state convention. In other words, national conventions and even local meetings and conventions. But to my knowledge, after extensive investigation, the first statewide meeting of blacks did not convene until 1840. And so the title of the book, Proceedings of the Black State Conventions, 1840 to 1865, chronicles that time period.
How effective was the convention movement in focusing its attention on special grievances of blacks?
Well, the conventions the convention movement on the whole was extremely effective in calling attention to the need to address the issues that affected black people in the United States. The issue of slavery, for example, stood uppermost in the minds of most free blacks because slavery, even though it did not affect blacks in the North, they were not slaves, it did indirectly affect their condition socially, politically, and economically. And so one of the themes of the convention movement was the need to attempt the abolition of slavery in the United States. Another need, of course, was to blunt the impact of the American Colonization Society. This was an organization founded in 1816 with the avowed purpose of attempting to send outside the limits of this country the free black people, with the design of attempting to insulate the institution of slavery in the South. You see, one of the boons that free blacks did have was their ability to organize, to protest, to petition. Slavery did not restrict their activities in that area. And so the American Colonization Society wanted to rid the country of all free blacks in order to secure the institution of slavery more firmly in the United States. And so the convention movement also attempted to address itself to that issue, what to do about colonization.
It seems like since the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, there has been an attempt to find out who our black leaders are. I'm wondering, during that period of 1840 through 1865, whether or not there were any prominent individuals that were leaders in those black state conventions.
Yes, some of those leaders stood brilliantly in the movement, one of whom I'm quite sure some out there in the audience is familiar with. Frederick Douglass, for example, born in slavery in Maryland, who escaped and later became an outstanding leader and spokesman for black rights in the North. Henry Highland Garnett, also of New York, who was born free and who later played a very active role in the convention movement. John Mercer Langston, who was born a slave in Virginia and was sent by his father to the state of Ohio, where he received an education, entered Oberlin College, the first institution to accept blacks, and later in the 40s and 50s and 60s played a very important role in the convention movement. There were a number of black leaders, and the most remarkable thing is that many of these individual spokesmen did not come out of very favored backgrounds. They had to struggle, they had to overcome caste discrimination. But the interesting thing to note is that they arose above those limitations and establish for themselves as well as for black Americans all the rights and privileges which they as a people in this country were entitled to.
Has America adequately recognized the contributions of black Americans?
I would say no. I think that is owing in part to the fact that for so long many stereotypes persisted concerning Afro-Americans. The fact that, for example, one of the beliefs which have prevailed for so many generations is that black people did not have a culture, did not have a civilization of their own. And therefore, when they came to this country, when they were brought over here as slaves, they were starting from scratch. Well, you know and I know that that is a lot of hogwash. Black people have contributed significantly to the life, the culture of this society. And it is unfortunate, but within this generation, a great deal of information is being revealed about that contribution. Within the last 20 to 25 years, history books are now uncovering, signally, the contributions that black Americans have made in this country.
What can we do as black Americans to make general America more aware of these contributions and of our worth to to this nation?
Well, we can begin focusing anew on that past record. We can begin teaching our children from grade school up. Remember, my knowledge of Black history, though skeletal, in primary and secondary school did not really spin off until I entered college. It is tragic, being a Black American, that none of my teachers, most of whom were white, in primary school, ever really told me anything about the history of Blacks in this country.
But isn't that probably because they were unaware also?
That's true. Tragically, that's true. They themselves were unaware, and therefore, how could they have been in a position to tell me anything?
So maybe our educational system totally needs to include Black history courses so that those individuals that will be teaching our children will be more aware.
That has been the failure. That has been the failure of education in this area. I think there is a tremendous need to refocus anew on Afro-American history, particularly the offering of courses and seminars that would illuminate the contributions of Blacks to this country.
In your studies, I'm sure you've seen many things that have been remarkable about Black people in terms of their contributions. Are there one or two instances or one or two things of major accomplishment that you feel as though have stood out over the years?
Yes, one of those things I would think would be the great struggle throughout the history of this country of Black people to become free men and women. That has been a continuing struggle. I think the continuing efforts of Black people in this country, in spite of adversity, to come into full-fledged freedom. And when I say freedom, I mean freedom in every sense of the word, the freedom of education, the freedom to work at the job of their choice, the freedom to vote. I would think that this struggle and the emphasis of Blacks in America has been struggle for equality. The second point would be in the area of civil rights. And I would quite frankly say that the 1960s did a great deal to call attention again to this subject. Dr. Martin Luther King was a man who stood out during that decade, as many of the audience know, and it was largely owing to the efforts of Black people in the South to call a halt to continuing discrimination and deprivation that again elevated this subject into the national mind.
Unfortunately, our time is up, but if you'd like to learn more about the research of Dr. George Walker, you might find out by reading The Proceedings of the Black State Conventions, 1840 through 1865, by S. Fawner and George E. Walker. They are two volumes produced by Temple University Press. I'd like to thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
I'd also like to let you know that there are several things happening at George Mason University during Black History Month. The Black Awakening Choir of Virginia Commonwealth University, Reverend Perry Smith, and singer Margaret Matthews in her ensemble on Sunday, February the 8th at 4 o'clock in the Student Union. An exhibit by John Johnson in the Student Union Monday, February the 9th. An art display by Mike Reeves on Tuesday, February the 10th in the Student Union. Jack Gravely, Executive Secretary of the Virginia State Conference of the NAACP on Wednesday, February the 11th. The Association for the Study of Afro-American History will have an exhibit on Wednesday and Thursday, February the 11th and 12th, and our Variations in Black Music, Friday, February the 13th, in the Student Union Lobby from 11:30 to 2 p.m., and the play, The Churches in the Valley, on February the 14th at 7 o'clock p.m. For further information, call 323-2138. This has been Frankly Speaking, a public affairs program produced by George Mason University. Pat Ping, production coordinator. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.